are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, February the 19th, and Reggie Jackson is gone as the Pistons turn another page. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for spreading the word. Today, we're going to talk about Reggie Jackson, who was bought out by the Pistons and is reportedly on his way to join the Clippers in a nice little turn of fortunes for him in terms of the standings, at least. We're also later on going to talk to Doc Joe Brown of the Pro Wrestling Talk for the Pistons Fan podcast about WWE night coming on Thursday as the Pistons return from All-Star break, what Joe's got planned for that event, and how you can meet up with me as well. That's right, me. As I'm sure that's got to be one of the things that's on the top of your list to do this week. But give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But as predicted last week by your favorite podcaster, Reggie Jackson was bought out over the All-Star break. He is gone as of Tuesday afternoon, reportedly taking the buyout from the Pistons, headed to the LA Clippers after he clears waivers, which is a formality. All this according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and confirmed later by everyone. A win-win for everyone in this situation. Frees up a little bit of room for the Pistons under the luxury tax. The Pistons owed him in totality $18.1 million per this season in the final year of his five-year $80 million deal. Of that 18.1, which is rounded up, he's still due about $5.5 million for the rest of the season. So the Clippers will presumably pay him about $780,000, which is the prorated minimum for a vet. So the Pistons possibly got Jackson to shave the $5.5 million owed to him down to like $4.8, $4.7. And at the end of the day, according to ESPN's Bobby Marks, that's exactly what they did, according to a tweet put out by him. Remember, throughout the season, the Pistons were about $3,000 below the luxury tax line, but that was never really right because tax and everything isn't calculated until after the season is over, what you actually spend on your roster. So that was the projection, that they would be that close to the luxury tax line. If nothing changed, they were going to be $3,000 under the tax. You can be over the tax, quote-unquote, throughout the season. You just have to clean things up with buyouts, trades, as the season goes on, and still get under that. The Drummond trade brought the Pistons to $1.7 million below the tax, and then Bobby Marks reporting the Pistons are now $2.46 million below the tax. With one roster spot available, with Reggie Jackson being gone, they can go for a veteran, which would be a mind-boggling decision to me. I find it, my prediction is that they're going to promote Jordan Bone from a two-way deal to a regular spot on the roster. Possibly could do the same with Lewis King instead, or they could bypass those guys, keep them on the two-way deals, and promote Dante Hall, or find another G Leaguer somewhere else, snatch someone, poach someone from someone else's system. You can grab anyone's G League players. Those guys are not under any kind of special deals, just the two-way guys. However, you cannot promote another person into the open two-way spot, so you can't backfill behind Lewis King or Jordan Bone. That deadline has passed. So there's a little bit of logic for bringing in someone completely from the outside because you're running out of time on Lewis King and Jordan Bone, but you could still use those guys from time to time, but you could find another wild card out there to give that spot to, so you could still be using King and Bone as the season goes on a little bit. But again, one of my arguments was to trade a Markieff Morris or Langston Galloway, not only at the trade deadline, but early on in the trade season, maybe promote Bone or King back then, and then while that two-way deadline had not passed, that could open up one of your a new two-way spot that you could backfill with a Dante Hall. But the Pistons, again, sat on their hands for most of the deadline season, and now we got locker room presences like Langston Galloway and Markieff Morris on this roster for some reason, while we're shedding the rest of the veterans like Reggie Jackson. Reggie, you know, he was the team was about a 500 team in the 5.5 seasons that he was Pistons point guard. When he played, when he was healthy, they were obviously a bad team. When he didn't play, the best ability is availability, as we know. This was a really bad era for the franchise. I don't have to tell you guys that. Fairly or unfairly, Reggie Jackson has to take a lot of responsibility for that. This was the biggest chance he'll ever have in his career of being a franchise type of player, and it did not go very well. That's not an unforgivable sin or anything like that. He was just kind of miscast there. And I don't want to spend too much time shitting on Reggie Jackson today, but the main takeaway for me of this move and the previous Andre Drummond trade is this is the end of a bitterly disappointing era for Pistons fans, and today is a good day. A good day to move on from a bad era of Pistons basketball. Now, of course, Reggie has the injury excuse, which he had several over the years. That's a valid thing. And Andre supporters, you know, you have the teammates excuse, the coaching excuse, whatever else you're being grasped upon for Drummond at this point. But this is a players league. Those guys got paid to be the top two players on this team in this era. And it was a really bad era, a really disappointing one, especially given how everyone felt after 2016 playoffs, a team that seemingly on the rise gave the Cavs that tough sweep, as we like to call it here in Detroit, in the first round before the Cavs went on to win the NBA Finals. These are two guys, Reggie and Andre. They're going to be linked for the rest of their careers in terms of Pistons lore. They got paid really well, you know, all-star level or near it money, and Reggie did that for 1 year. That's the good part. His first full season in Detroit, 2015-16, a lot of big fourth quarters, especially the one against Portland. Took the Pistons to the playoffs for the first time in seven seasons or so. 18.8 points per game that year, 6.2 rebounds in 30.7 minutes of play, the first of his five-year $80 million deal. And as noted by Rod Beard, today is the five-year anniversary of the trade the Pistons made to acquire Reggie Jackson from the Oklahoma City Thunder. These guys were paid to be leaders, to grow up quickly in their mid-20s, kind of entering their late 20s at the end of their deals. But when Blake came in, it felt like they finally did get that adult presence that maybe they were lacking, which I think says something about Andre and Reggie. Those guys are not going to be remembered fondly by the general Detroit sports fan. If you want to argue that's a problem with the Detroit sports fan, that's fine, but I will defend that viewpoint here. They're never going to be remembered as part of the Pistons lore in a positive way like the guys that won a lot here. And I see some people on Twitter saying that Reggie, you know, quote-unquote, deserves a ring. I don't know what that means. Not everyone deserves a ring. They're hard to get in the NBA. It's this weird thing, this dichotomy, especially with Andre and Reggie, because you get the diehards like digging in even more these past year or so. It's a weird thing. The Pistons fans, the average Detroit sports fans, they don't like Reggie. But the Pistons Twitter and some of the diehards, you have to like comically over-defend him. So now we're sitting here a million miles apart. I'm glad to have this dynamic kind of going away from the discussion about this team. And again, most of that is not Andre and Reggie's fault, but it's just the scenario that we're kind of dealing with in the present day. And something I said last year about Reggie on the show, and this is a take that I know a lot of people won't like, it's one of those gut feeling takes, the eye test kind of things. But with Reggie, and I'm a guy who's watched hoops my whole life, as you guys know, I always thought that he had a way about him where he appears like he's very concerned about how he looks on the court. And I know that sounds harsh. Maybe it is. Maybe it's even completely out of line. And that's fine. It's my show. I can say what I want. And I promise I'm not just the old white guy that says that a lot about NBA players often. In fact, I can't think of another player in the league right now that I would say that about. And really, you know, Jason Williams kind of being the most famous example of that. But Reggie, famously, admittedly, is like a loner type. He didn't grow up like most NBA players did, or most Americans did. And we talked about this a lot with Kobe and how it shaped his life, being a guy who grew up in Italy. It turned him into a bit of a tough guy to get along with. And, of course, Kobe's talent made up for it. But there's elements of Reggie that are different than a lot of guys in the league. It's hard to put your finger on it, and you can hear that I'm kind of struggling to voice my opinion on it here. But Reggie, the way he plays, obviously never really resonated here, especially after that first season when he got it done. But he was, you know, a volume shooter, always was going to be putting it up at the end of the game, comically never passing the ball at the end of games. Disastrously low clutch field goal percentage after a very good clutch field goal percentage in his first full season. And again, that's even a little bit unfair of a stat because you're comparing him against other top players in the league in that stat because the teams are having their best players shoot the ball in those situations. And he was the Pistons' version of that, the best guy for those opportunities, but the guy who was supposed to be that top player. But, you know, fairly obviously he was miscast and over-promoted to that role throughout his career. Again, health being a huge part, but you wonder if he should have been just a super sub on maybe some better teams throughout his entire career. And we can kind of say the same for Andre and the miscasting. Andre could be a solid player for someone, no doubt about that. But miscast is like a best or second best player for a franchise. And all the more strange that these are the guys that Stan Van Gundy gave the keys to the cars to all these years ago. And now we're here in the beginning of kind of a confusing and long rebuild. So good times all around. But like I said, a necessary move and the right move for the franchise and the right move for Reggie Jackson. So good luck to Reggie. And I'm clearly really bad at eulogies, so maybe don't invite me to do that at your funeral. But the Pistons fans, we wish you success for the rest of your career. And thanks for the good times. Reggie, there were some, no doubt about that. A lot of good times and a lot of not-so-good times as well. And I think that encapsulates the era of Pistons basketball that we've seen lately. But up next, we're going to talk to Doc Joe Brown about WWE Night and what's going on with his podcast as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Pistons is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Pistons fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, but a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Pistons fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses, especially here in Michigan. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcasts.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we got Doc Joe Brown, one of my favorites, my friend, the host of the Pro Wrestling Talk for Pistons Fans podcast. You can find that on Twitter at ProPistons. Doc Joe Brown, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, what's up, Matt? We're finding a way to create shows while the Pistons aren't being very good. So hats off to any Pistons podcast, especially you, because you're on the daily grind.
Yeah, it is quite the feat these days, but a lot of NBA draft talk coming up soon, I can imagine, here for the next few weeks. But there's a WWE night coming up at Little Caesars Arena for Thursday's game against the Milwaukee Bucks, as if Giannis in town wasn't scary enough. They're talking WWE. So for those of us who have heard about WWE Night, let's start from just the Pistons perspective, and we'll talk about your podcast in particular after that. But what are the Pistons doing? I know you've been in touch with the folks that are kind of helping organize it from the franchise's end. What are they doing for WWE Night?
Sure. So if you don't make it to the game a lot, pretty much almost every home game has a theme. It's a way of reaching out to the community to get casual fans maybe hooked on to be permanent fans. And then it's just also a way to get big groups in. I went the other day and it was Hooper's birthday. And I used to hate Hooper's birthday. But now that I have a daughter, I saw it through her eyes. And she liked the fact that the other mascots were there. And they were all down on the court helping Hooper celebrate his birthday, which is odd because it switches every year. Sometimes it's in October. Sometimes it's in February.
And it's always in a home game, too. It's crazy how that always works out, the home game that night.
But my daughter actually loved it. So the upcoming one is WWE Night. As you know, through our podcast, we have a lot of Pistons fans that are also WWE wrestling fans. And there's no crossover from the sports or anything. It's just that a lot of the fans that are fans of wrestling happen to be fans of basketball. So the Pistons wanted to tap into that. They said they've actually been trying to do this for a few years now. It's just been scheduling conflicts. And, you know, these are two large entities, the NBA and the WWE. So I can't imagine the headache of making all the contracts and the sponsoring work. But they actually got it pushed through. So we're going to do it, not we, but the Pistons are going to do it on the 20th against the Bucks, which is odd that that day occurred because, as you know, the Bucks do their little wrestling routine as a way of getting hype before they come out the locker room. But they assured me it was like no overlap in that. That's just how it worked out with the talent that got scheduled, which is Cesaro from the WWE. And a lot of wrestling fans will know him. He's one of the more underrated wrestlers in the organization right now.
So folks that go to the game, they can get a picture with Cesaro then, or how does that work?
Sure. You go to NBA.com/Pistons/theme nights, and you can get your tickets from there. You can't get them off StubHub or anything and benefit from the items that I'm about to tell you about. But if you go there and you purchase your tickets, you get a T-shirt, which, you know, Tom Gores loves T-shirts.
Sure, I've heard about that.
You know he does. And then you'll also get a meet and greet with Cesaro. I think it's before the game. We just got the email a couple minutes ago, actually. And it's before the game or during halftime or something. So you'll actually get a one-on-one with him. But I'm sure the Pistons have always been, no matter how bad the games are, a tight flight organization as far as entertainment. So I'm sure they'll probably do some little bits with him with the dancing usher or him with Hooper and things like that throughout the game. And they're good for showing clips on the big screen. So it'll probably be just a fun night if you're a fan of the Pistons and of wrestling, just to kind of merge the two. It's kind of like your own little personal wet dream.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one way to put it, for sure. I know that you've been toggling between, I know that All-Star Weekend, they got SmackDown on Friday night now, and of course the other wrestling entities that are throughout the weekend. It must be tough for you these days, right?
It is very tough. And if you follow at Pro Pistons on Twitter, and that was a really bad shameless plug, you'll see that I frequently say that, like, oh, today is a rough night. You know, I'll show a picture of my tablet, my computer, and the TV going, because sometimes there's two wrestling shows on at once. And we found out that when we don't tweet during like basketball and wrestling, that people actually will tweet at us and say, "Hey, where's Pro Pistons at tonight?" So that's really fun because we're so short. We just started here in September. So Sunday night was really fun with the All-Star game because there was actually NXT show, a pay-per-view going on Sunday night. So our Twitter feed was just like literally my phone was hot and I had to switch to the computer because we were tweeting about the All-Star game and we were tweeting about NXT at the same exact time, which made it a lot of fun.
Good times. And we talked about Cesaro being there on Thursday night, but more importantly, Doc Joe Brown will be in the house with the podcast. Tell us about, and I'll be there as well with you guys on Thursday. Tell us about the plans for the pre-show.
Yes. So 5:30 to 7 p.m., the podcast will actually be doing a live show at Mike's Pizza Bar. And Mike's Pizza Bar is connected to inside the arena, however you want to say it. But you don't have to have a ticket to access Mike's Pizza Bar, which is really awesome. It's what a lot of the big arenas are doing now. So if you just kind of want to go be in the atmosphere, sort of like Jurassic Park in Toronto. But trust me, the Pistons aren't that good. It won't be nearly as crowded. You can access Mike's Pizza Bar. They have huge screens up to watch the game. We'll start our recording right at 5:30, and we're going to have a couple guests. So you, Matt, you're going to be on. You're going to be previewing the game for us. And then we're going to have some actual talent from Horror Slam Wrestling. They are a local promotion here in southeastern Michigan, and I just learned about them myself. They're going to have some talent there to be on the show and tell us about their upcoming wrestling show. I believe it's in Allen Park, but they'll have more details. And then we'll actually do our show. So if you listen to our show, we do a lot of hilarious crossover bits. So we talked about our favorite Piston coaches and favorite wrestling managers on the last episode. And then we also talked about on the upcoming episode, which hasn't been released yet, what do we like better, All-Star Weekend or WrestleMania Weekend? So we're actually going to do a live bit of our show, and we just hope everyone comes out in support. We're going to give away some T-shirts. The backdrop just came in. That was my Ring doorbell that you heard go off. So I was looking at the FedEx, man. So we're going to try to do a official. And it should be a good time. You get to come out. You get to meet Matt. I know a lot of people have always wanted to, not that I'm popular, meet the guy behind the Twitter page. Sure. That's actually doing wrestling and basketball at the same time. And then you'll get to meet some local wrestling talent. And that's really important because you never know when those local wrestling talents will be at WrestleMania one day. And you can say, "Hey, I met that guy at the bar one night."
Should be fun to see you guys and hang out and see some real live wrestlers. Maybe I'll go off the turnbuckle or something.
Okay. No rings and no fighting. It's just a good time. But hey, Matt, I will repeat it again just because I talk really fast sometimes. Sure. It's 5:30 PM this Thursday, February 20th. and it's at Mike's Pizza Bar, which is connected to Little Caesars Arena. And you don't have to have a ticket to enter Mike's Pizza Bar. And then we end, we go right up until 6:50 when it's tip off. So depending on what your budget is, you can either stay in the bar and enjoy your pizza and watch the game, or you could go in the arena and enjoy the game from your seats.
Now, Joe, we were talking before we started recording here a little bit about our thoughts on All-Star Weekend, and I felt like you were starting to go on a little jag about the All-Star game in and of itself. So let's hear it. You were not a fan of the All-Star game, which is a little bit against the grain for most people.
Oh, my gosh. First of all, it's hard to watch any All-Star Weekend where there is absolutely no Pistons involved. Mm-hmm. It's just as a, you know, I'm just a diehard fan, and it's just kind of painful. Even I thought Andre Drummond, I'm like, if you listen to our last podcast, I'm like, every year you can make an argument for him being an All-Star, you know, at the if you're just counting statistics and things like that. I just like for people to tip off the ball, and when the clock runs out, whoever's winning wins the game.
It's tough to adjust to.
I know. Sure. And I was talking with Brendan Welper, and I don't mind saying his name because he's a friend of the show as well. And you can't end the game on a free throw. You can't even do that if you're playing in your driveway. I think that was kind of lame. I thought you should have to win by two. And then I thought that you should definitely have to make a field goal to end the game. But other than that, I remember I was a child growing up. And like you said on your last podcast, I used to have sleepovers for my birthday, because it would always be on dunk contest night, on All-Star weekend night, and things like that. So I have to remember that I'm an adult now, and I have to reserve those memories for my childhood and other kids coming up too. But, yeah, I hated the game ending on a free throw. I was like, oh, this blows, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for the real Elam ending that they do in the basketball tournament, they just cut it off with, I think it's like the last stoppage of play, or the first stoppage of play that's under 3 minutes, and then they establish that it's 7 points more than that. I thought that the Elam ending for the entire fourth quarter was a little much, because you always had to be doing the math in your head. And you know, we don't like doing math as business fans, as basketball fans. So I think that was kind of maybe a part. And I think that if they were to incorporate the Elam ending, it would probably be more like that, where it's 5 or 3 minutes and less points than the 24, obviously a tribute to Kobe Bryant as well. But someone was bringing this up on Twitter well into the game, that, you know, they added Dirk and Dwayne Wade the last couple years as kind of the memorial type of players, the guys that are out. You know, Vince Carter would have been a nice add this year, and I know he's maybe not quite that level of Wade and Dirk, but not far behind. I mean, he's been the longevity, obviously. And then just kind of along those lines, I know that Derrick Rose isn't a guy who's in his last year or anything like that, but with the kind of the Chicago homecoming, which would have been nice too, I don't have a problem with that stuff. I think that, like, the guys coming back home, maybe per year, two spots that are kind of those kind of spots for guys that might, you know, like Derrick Rose, you could make a case that he kind of deserves it, probably doesn't quite deserve it, but certainly having a great year. And then like a Vince Carter type. What do you think about those kind of things?
Well, you know what? I said that last year, and I was so happy to see Dwayne Wade and Dirk there, because those are some of my favorite players through college and things. But they opened up a big can of worms with that one. They really did.
Yeah, where's the line?
You know, personally, Matt, I always, and I said this on Twitter, I would like them to bring back the Legends game, because
that'd be awesome.
In the 90s, I'm like, all the guys are in pretty good shape because they're always on TV. I was like, what would be wrong with having a little 3-on-3 action with seeing Magic out there back in the day? I know they used to do that with the Shooting Stars competition, but so to answer your question, I agree. Derrick Rose should have been an All-Star. I know he did a book signing or something like that there, but he should have been named an All-Star. Vince Carter, it was the 20-year anniversary of the dunk contest with him. You know, essentially having the greatest performance in dunk contest history.
Oh, yeah.
And there was no mention to him at all in the dunk contest, which I was like, wow. I just knew somebody was going to do something, pull out a jersey. So, yeah, they definitely should have had him as a judge, because we see what happened with that.
Maybe anybody else.
We see what happened. And it was funny because Jameer Nelson was there, and I'm like, can't get Vince Carter? What in the world?
Yeah, it was, and then Jameer goes back to the seats. We were joking. I was out with some friends, and we were like, he's probably going to try to blend in with all the players now. They're going to be like, Jameer, you got to head back to the upper deck there. Sorry.
You know, I was laughing, Matt, because it looked like he ran back to his car. I was like, did he just pull up to the arena like, hey, I got something to do real quick, babe?
former Pistons legend, Jameer Nelson.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Jameer,
And Udonis Haslam was there, by the way.
Yeah,
I did see
well, he's
him
always
on the
there.
Side. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was pretty cool. I didn't even know he was in the league until the Pistons played him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, unbelievable that he's still on the roster getting those checks. But you mentioned the legends. What do you think about big three style, three on three with a team like the host city, you know, obviously being the Bulls,
yep.
A mix of guys that just retired and then some of the maybe super old school guys, mix up the teams so that there's a – you know, a 60-something on each team, a 50-something
on
each team.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. But, you know, man, I'm 36, and I know you're similar to my age.
Sure.
I don't want to say that. And I've been watching basketball since I was little, so like 5 or 6. So, of course, I would love it. But I don't know what the mass majority of people would like, because when the TikTok people were out there, I didn't know anything about the app or anything. So I understand that they have to appeal to the new audience that probably spends way more money than you and I do.
Yeah, maybe they could have like the Friday is like the old head All Star Weekend night. Saturday is like the kids. I don't
right, because if you remember, the rookie game used to be on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really weird. Yeah, it used to be rookies and sophomores. I remember when Penny Hardaway won that first, and it used to be East versus West. I think the original game. So
I don't recall that.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
Because it's like really crazy, and that was before they replaced the old head. So
yeah,
I would love it, Matt, if they did anything to kind of, you know, bring us old folks in. But I guess just us seeing them sitting on the sideline is good enough.
Cool. Well, hey, Doc Joe Brown, looking forward to seeing you on Thursday, and hopefully we get some listeners to come out and say hi as well for the pre-show of the WWE night at Little Caesars Arena. That's the pro wrestling talk for Pistons fans. Follow Joe Brown's show on Twitter at Pro Pistons. And always a good time to spend time with Joe and listen to the podcast. Thanks for doing this, man.
Hey, thank you for having me, Matt. I got my start being a power listener right here at Locked On Pistons. So I really appreciate it. Bye, everybody.
All right. Thanks again to Doc Joe Brown for joining us. We went long, as I figured we would, but hopefully we'll see some of you guys on Thursday. We could talk about Reggie Jackson or whatever else is on your mind for the rest of the Pistons season on WWE night. Coming up. But that'll do it for the show. This is Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Anxious to talk hoops with you guys as the post All-Star break season continues, or begins, I should say, Thursday night with Milwaukee at home. Thanks for listening, everyone. Talk to you guys tomorrow.